All right, March 24, 2021, when will Jesus return? Aren't you glad you came tonight? Because this is going to be some vital information, right? I don't know. We'll find out. Do you have a speculation about this? Or?
No, but I have a question.
What's that? A question about the date. Yes.
Yesterday was my birthday.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Yes. That's okay. That's all right. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Shh. All right. Now we need people to be quiet and listen because we have, we'll do a little bit of something special after we get finished with this tonight. But we have to, if this takes too long, we might not get to it. So cooperate with me and we'll make this happen. All right. So when will Jesus return? First of all, Jesus did say he will return. That's what he told his disciples when he went back to heaven. And the Bible says that he will return one day. So a lot of people have like tried to speculate about like when that's going to be. Some people have even gone so far as to say it's going to happen in 1988. And it didn't. Or it's going to happen in the year 2000. And it didn't. Even back a long time ago, they thought it was going to happen in the year 1000. Didn't happen. Yeah. The Bible says we can't know. So that's the short answer. The short answer is we don't know. The first question we've come to that nobody knows the answer to. All right, let's talk about something else for a minute. Go to the next one here. Could be. All right. Well, yeah, it is. What? You know, the end of a story. The end of a story is very important, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, the beginning of a story is pretty cool, and the middle is kind of exciting, but the end. The end is very important because it could be a good ending or a bad ending. And it's like, you don't even know what's going to happen until you find out at the end. And then everything sort of makes sense. Or if it's a bad movie, maybe nothing makes sense or something. Go to the next one. So we have nice, wonderful stories like this one where you might have a, now not everything. All right, everybody turn around and listen. This is gonna take too long if we don't pay attention. Now, listen, this is a good story where some things do go wrong in this story, but ultimately it kind of comes around, and you know we find the true love and all of that, and everybody ends happily ever after, and it's wonderful, right? So that's one type of story, and then the next one, oh, then sometimes you get stories where. People just inexplicably die and they weren't supposed to, and it's just a horrible, horrible thing. All right, so go to the next one. So, how does the story end? How does the story end? That's my question. What story am I talking about? I'm talking about this one that we're in right now. We're in a story, that's right. Of course we are. Of course we're in a story. I don't know. Nobody knows how many pages. Yeah. All right, just hold on to that. Well, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Now, there's lots of different theories about what kind of story we're in here on this earth. What kind of story we're living in. So go to the next one. So here is one idea of the story. This is from Hinduism and... like some Eastern religions, or Buddhism also kind of has a little bit of this. And so they believe that the world is a big circle, and it's a cycle of living and dying and rebirth and living and dying and rebirth and living and dying. And it just goes on and on forever. And it just kind of repeats. That's one idea of what story we're in. And so if you think you're living in that story, that sort of affects how you want to be in the story. So they want to try to like maybe get to the next level of the cycle. So maybe the next time around, it will be maybe just a little bit better than this time. And that is one thing that people think. All right, go to the next one. Another thing that people think, they think that the universe is... gradually just sort of going, winding down, falling apart, and ultimately all of the stars will flicker out, and everything will go cold and will stop moving and will just be dead, and that's the end. It is a terrible story. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a very good story, does it? Now, if you're in this story, that sort of makes you think that maybe it doesn't even matter what you do, right? Because there's just no hope. But some people believe that's what story we're in. All right, look at the next one. Shh. All right, there's another story that's similar to that story about how things are progressively getting better and better and better and better, which is an interesting kind of story to think about. And so they think that now this is talking about the theory of evolution a little bit, how people supposedly are getting better and better and better. And now in the 1800s, a long time ago, they were really, really excited about this idea. And they thought, boy, now we have railroads and we have factories and we have all these modern things. Man, it can hardly get any better than this. And they thought that everything was just going to get better and better and better and better. And they were just going to be, people were just going to be the best they could ever be and reach some kind of new level of existence. And it was going to be amazing. And then you know what happened? Then they had World War I, where many, many people died. And then a few years later, they had World War II, where even more people died. And finally, people realized, you know what? Maybe it's not getting better and better. So that sort of put a little bit of a crimp in this theory about what story we were living in. All right, go to the next one. The next story is a story about how things have fallen apart, but one day they will be put back together again. Yeah, so that's supposed to be like the Bible version of the story. All right, go to the next one. Yeah, I don't know about that either. All right, the Bible view of history. So, the Bible says that history is not just a bunch of random events that just sort of happen. I mean, maybe there are some random events, but ultimately it's all kind of wrapped into this story that is going somewhere. Like there's a purpose to it. Like everything that's happening is sort of moving in one specific direction. And ultimately, it will come to a conclusion, and maybe a satisfying conclusion, one that makes sense. And so that's the story that the Bible tells us that we're in. So the Bible story is sort of like humans were created in goodness when God created Adam and Eve. They were perfect. They lived in a perfect world. Everything was wonderful. And God said it was good. And their job was to represent God on earth. So they were supposed to take care of the animals, they were supposed to take care of the trees, they were supposed to make sure everything was going the way it was supposed to go. I think ultimately they were supposed to maybe continue building out their garden a little bit and making the world a better place, filling the world with more people and teaching them to be good stewards. That's sort of what God's plan was at the beginning. But Adam and Eve, as we said in our questions, they did not do that. Instead, they rebelled against God. They thought their way would be a better way to do it. And they didn't want to represent God anymore. They wanted to just do what they wanted to do. So that started a process of the whole world slowly tearing apart and sin entering the world and everything sort of coming undone. And so now we have death and sickness and disease and tornadoes and earthquakes. What is up, man? Come on in. I think you can sit right there if you want to. And so that's what's up. So here we are. Now we're in a good world, and now we're kind of in this world that's kind of good, but also has some bad stuff in it. And then, God still wants people to represent him on earth. So what he did was he chose the nation of Israel to represent him. But guess what they did? They said, no, we'd rather worship idols. We don't want to follow you. So there he was again. So then more bad things happened. So then God sent his son Jesus to fix things. And so he sent the Messiah. By the way, he knew he was going to do that a long time ago. In the Old Testament prophets, they talked about this. And He came. Jesus came. He was the Messiah. He lived a perfect life and gave himself up on the cross, died on the cross, so that he could repair this damage that had happened by sin, so that he could get rid of sin, get rid of death, and to ultimately conquer it. And so that's what he did. And so now God's people that are supposed to represent him are people who follow Christ. So if you become a Christian, your job is to represent God here on earth. And okay, so your job is to represent God on earth and to do the things that God would want you to do and to care for people and things that God would want you to care about. And so that's kind of the job. We're supposed to live by the values of God's kingdom, which is not about getting power and controlling people or getting the most money. It's about giving up ourselves for other people. That's the values of the kingdom. So that's what we're supposed to do. And then Jesus said one day, the kingdom will be fully revealed. Now Jesus is ruling right now, but it's sort of hidden. We can't really see it except through the actions of Christians that are following him. But one day Jesus will come back and everyone will see. Everyone will see what the kingdom of God looks like. And it will be revealed. And sin and death will be swept away. Those who are rebellious will be punished. The faithful will be rewarded. And heaven comes down to earth and God dwells with his people forever. Here on the earth, a new earth, a new recreated earth. That's better even maybe than it was before. All right, so then that gets us to, when will this happen? Go to the next one. When will this happen? Oh, my. Well, as I told you before, we don't know. The Bible says not even the angels know when Jesus is going to come back. When Jesus was here, he said he didn't even know when it was the right time. He didn't even know. Only God the Father knew. So but he says be ready for it and be waiting. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be sharing this message of God's kingdom to all the nations. And one of the reasons some people think God is waiting to come back is because he wants other people to have a chance to realize that God is in control, that this is his kingdom, that this is his world, and to repent and to become his representatives again. That's what part of the reason maybe why he's not quite come back yet. But he is going to come back. Now, put your hand down just for a minute, because I got to read a couple of verses, and then we'll be finished. So this is what Paul says about Jesus coming back, and about what some of that might be like. All right, here's what he says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. He says, but now he had just talked to these people, because some people in this church that he's talking to thought that, some of them thought, oh, Jesus is not coming back, or maybe he's already come back and we missed it, and they had a lot of questions about it. And Paul's saying, look, if Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, it doesn't matter everything. Yeah, nothing matters. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're not going to rise from the dead. But because Jesus did, we are. Here's what he says. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's come back to life. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So like the first harvest or something like that. The first person to ever be resurrected like this into new life. For as by a man came death, talking about Adam, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Remember we talked about that last week, putting his enemies under his feet? And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. So when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he defeated death and hell and the powers that are ruling this world we talked about. But it still looks like the powers are ruling this world. But they are losing their grip, and they are going. One day, it's all going to fall apart on them. and we will see the kingdom of God. All right, come sit down. Sit down. Shh. Go sit down. All right, here's my last little bit. Shh. Here's the other thing that Paul tells them. He says, I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. It means things that can die or things that are just like normal, but you have to be born again. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. You know what it means that something is perishable? Sometimes like crates of food at the grocery store will say perishable on them. What does that mean? No. It's like some lettuce or something. It can go bad, right? They leave that out at the truck too long or something, it won't be any good anymore. So perish means dying or going bad. But he says the dead will be raised imperishable. If you're imperishable, that means you can't die, you can't get sick. Yeah, so that's the resurrection he's talking about. We will be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body, a body that can die, must put on immortality. You know what that is? Living forever. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So, this story has a happy ending, the story that we're in. Happy ending for those who are in Christ. And if this is true, then what we do really matters. If this really is the story we're in, about that this is being part of God's kingdom and being a representative of God and ultimately seeing that kingdom realized here on the earth and being a part of that, and becoming immortal, that sounds like a pretty good story to be a part of. And it means that what you do now matters. So just sitting around wasting your time is not a good thing to do. You have some things to do. And if you're a follower of Christ, you for sure have some things to do. All kinds of things to do. There's all kinds of people that need your help, and there's all kinds of good things that can be done. And living out the values of God's kingdom. And we don't have to be afraid. A lot of people go around, then they're afraid of coronavirus and afraid of sickness and afraid of dying. And those are very scary things. But if you are a Christian and you believe that you will be resurrected one day, you don't even have to be afraid of death itself, because death has already been conquered by Jesus. And so imagine living like you're not scared of anything. That's what you can do. If you're a Christian, you can live that way. And living by those kingdom values. And announcing that Jesus is the King and he's coming soon to put things right again.